You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95BFM.
Yes, indeed. Time for The Green Desk. Today, Green Connor speaks with Annabeth Cohen about the threat of drainage pumps to New Zealand eels. Connor started by asking about the relationship eels have with Aotearoa and our local ecosystems.
Oh, eels are a fantastic species. They are so special to Tangata Whenua. You see them in stories and songs and carvings. They're integral to the history of New Zealand. They're a Tonga species. They're an incredible species. They grow decades before they actually are able to swim out to sea. They go all the way up to Tonga and they migrate up there to breed. In fact, they only get one chance in their life to breed. So it's really important that we keep them safe so that they can go out and do their job and breed.
What is the lifespan of a typical New Zealand eel? In fact, how many different species of eel are there within New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand's got three species of eel, two native. We've got the long fin eel and the short fin eel. The long fin eel, they're threatened with extinction. The short fin eel, they're also not doing very well. You can find eel throughout New Zealand.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the mating process? So they actually migrate out of New Zealand waters and up into the Pacific.
Yeah, so they especially the females, you know, they get really big. They can grow up to a meter and a half, 2 meters long. They might be 40 years old before they go out to breed. They get really fat. We know that the migrating females, they need all that sustenance to get out there. So they could grow up to maybe 600 millimeters before they're ready to breed.
And does the whole process take part in these subtropical waters, or does the mating happen within New Zealand and then they shift up north for the actual birthing?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that it is quite a mysterious process what they do when they leave New Zealand waters. So there's still a lot of science that needs to be done about what they do when they leave here. But they're fantastic creatures, and like I said, they spend their life here growing plump so that they can make that long journey out there to breed. And like I said, they only get one chance to do it.
And so before we get into the issue of the pumps, which are causing a lot of fatalities for the female eels, what are the other risks and dangers that are producing these endangered status or just are sort of at-risk status for the short fins?
So our eels have it tough because they're already facing issues with water pollution. So, you know, we've seen our rivers, the quality of our water go down over the last couple decades. We're also seeing them suffer because of habitat destruction. So, you know, one of the jobs of these pumps is to drain wetlands that they, you know, that the area can be available for farming oftentimes or flood management. So, you know, we've seen our wetlands go over the decades and continually are decreasing today. And that's an essential habitat for our eels. So not only are, you know, the remaining rivers and lakes, the quality is decreasing, but we're seeing a lot of their habitat disappear.
And so the issue at hand that we're talking about today is the pumps. Can you give me a little bit of a fill-in on what the pumps are aiming to do and how this is interfering with the mating rituals of the females in particular?
Yeah, so we're really concerned that eels are dying in these drainage pumps. So these pumps exist to drain water from one area to another, either to control flooding on a paddock or to make sure that a paddock stays dry or potentially just to change the way that the landscape would naturally hydrologically be.
And so the issue is that the eels are getting caught up in the pumps.
Yes, so we're seeing them, you know, decapitated, skinned, spines broken. It's really not pretty. They're being, you know, chopped into pieces. The reports that we've got back are saying that the larger female eels, because of their size, are, you know, there's a 0% chance of them surviving going through these pumps. And so what happens is the eels have this strong urge to migrate during autumn rains and during heavy rains. And this is also the same time that these pumps are automatically activated. So it's a recipe for disaster, and it's really putting pressure on these eels.
So the eels have already got a bit of a tough time with habitat degradation, and then we throw in these drainage pumps. What options do we have to to dial back that threat to the eels while still being able to drain water when we need to?
Yeah, we need to take coordinated urgent action. I mean, this is the study that's been done by Waikato Regional Council. You know, we want to acknowledge that work, but it's not new information in the sense that we know that these structures are threatening fish and eel. So, you know, it's time for the councils and for DOC to get together and to do something about this. You know, what can they do? We're looking at the possibility of fish-friendly pumps and possibly gates. But we also need to look at where their habitat is really important, because maybe instead of draining the habitat, we need to return these areas to wetlands, return the habitat to the eels so that they have a safe place to be. Regardless of what, you know, we do, we need to do it fast because, you know, 100% of these migrating female eels are being killed in these pumps, and that's not good when they only get one chance to breed.
I know there's some pretty creative solutions down south in the Mackenzie country around Twizel for transporting salmon and other fish away from or around the dams. Is there some possibility to have sort of some eel route established?
There are trap and transfer programs from around the country. You know, just a shout out to Bill, who's doing a lot of work on transferring our eels. But yeah, they need to be able to migrate naturally. You know, this is just something that instinctually is a part of them. They have to be able to migrate up and downstream as well as out to sea.
So what kind of action are councils taking at this stage and local communities? Or at this stage, is it still very much we're aware of it happening and we're talking about it, but no one is really getting stuck in to make any significant change as of yet?
Yeah, I think that they're still in the investigation phase. And I think the point is we've got enough information to know that something needs to be done now.
That was The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Order.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.